So there is an art to biblical interpretation, taking the Bible and trying to understand the culture it was written to, and then trying to understand what that means in our culture today. And in some passages, that is a very simple art, because it's just very straight. It wouldn't matter what culture you were in. When Paul tells us to love one another, or Jesus tells us to love one another, that's the same in every culture. And then there are other passages that you come to that you have to do some work and try to figure out, okay, why did he say this to that culture, and what are the implications for our culture today? And so I told you at winter retreat, I got to looking ahead to see what all is in First Peter, and I was reminded, oh, I forgot that was there. So we come to this passage today in First Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and we're going to look at that today. Here's the reading of God's word. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great value or great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with the respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Father God, we just ask, Lord, this morning that you would help the words that I speak, first of all, to please and honor you, and that they would be properly interpreted from the culture that they were written in to our culture today, and that we would be able to walk away edified and one step closer in the way that we live our lives in a way to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you will notice that Paul or Peter here gives a lot more space to wives than he does to husbands. And it's interesting that Paul does the very same thing. When you go over to the passage in Ephesians, if I remember right, it's Ephesians chapter 5 right in there, where he gives the whole passage on husbands and wives, which, by the way, is the passage that most pastors prefer to preach on. It's got less things that are kind of less offensive in our culture in it than First Peter does. But anyway, Paul does the same thing. He gives a lot more instruction to the wives than he does to the husbands. The reason for that is that in Roman culture, women have particularly or considerably less social standing, power, and influence, especially compared to men. But then, as women became Christians, they found that they had all kinds of new freedom that wasn't experienced in the culture, in Christ. And they wanted to know how to live with their freedom in Christ and the elevation that God had given to women. How do we live with this freedom that God has given to us in this culture that is very dominated by men? And so they needed instruction. They were requesting that instruction. And so both Peter and Paul both write in such a way to help them understand how to use their freedom in the culture in which they were living. And the other thing that we should notice that he does here in this passage, in both talking to the wives and to the husbands, he uses this exact same phrase, in the same way. And that is a reference back to the passage before where he talks about the fact that all of us need to submit our lives to Christ. As Christ submitted himself to God the Father. And so he says, wives, as Christ submitted himself to God the Father, submit yourselves. Husbands, as Christ submitted himself to God the Father, be considerate of your wives. And so he uses Christ and he says to both men and women, he says, whatever you do, it's your responsibility to be Christ-like in your marital relations. That's your responsibility. Now, this word for submit, which is a very unpopular term today in our world, it's a military term. It was a military Greek term that means to be placed under a certain rank. There's ranks in the military, and it's very clear. You know what rank you are, and you know that you submit to the rank above you and all of that. He's telling us that headship does not imply that marriage is a dictatorship, nor that the husband is superior, because many a private is a better man than the general above them. That just is part of life, and yet the private submits and obeys to that general. And the same is true in marriage. The husband may not always be right or have the best plan, but in submitting, the wife honors Christ and is a positive witness. The scripture does not suggest anywhere, either when you go to Paul or to Peter, that God should submit to us, or that the slave master should submit to the slave, or the husband should submit to the wife, or the child should submit to the parent, or the government authorities should submit to the citizens. There is a rank in life that God has established, whether we like that or not. And Peter says the wife's first submission is first to God, and then to her husband. And the husband's first obligation is to submit to God also. Now, godly submission, Peter goes on to say, when it's done in the right spirit, can have great spiritual influence on one spouse. And what he's saying there, and what he's telling these wives back in that day is, you know, you can preach and you can argue and you can nag, but it's just not going to be effective reaching your Roman and Greek husbands who are not saved. It's not going to go anywhere. And so he's telling them to submit and to do it in a good spirit. And that will be the most effective. Good behavior and character are the key to having spiritual influence, especially when one is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is not to say, Peter is not saying that women should be silent partners in marriage. There are some out there that teach that. That is crazy. The very word for Eve, you need to go all the way back to Genesis. Adam, or God named Adam and Eve, and the name Eve means life giver. But there are two other meanings to that word: to declare and to show. To declare and to show. So from the very beginning, God intended women to verbally compliment, be a helpmate to their husbands by talking, by sharing their wisdom and insight. And there are things that women grasp that men, you know, it just goes right over our heads. And no man No wise man is going to ignore that or not want that to be part of their life. Peter's direction here is that when a woman speaks, she's just to do it in such a way that it honors Christ. Now, we should also know that the Scripture does not call women to submit to all men. In many cultures today, women just have to submit to any man, anywhere, any place, anytime. That also is not what the Scripture is saying. He says, submit to God and submit to your husband, one person. That's not blanket society-wide. You watch in you go to Muslim countries, and there's none of that freedom that Christ has given to women in the culture, well, in any culture. Christ has given them freedom that you don't find anywhere else in any other culture. St. Augustine wrote that his mother, Monica, led both him and his father to Christ. And it wasn't by words. It was by the way she lived. And so that's the heartbeat of what Peter is writing in this first passage. And then when you get to verses 3 and 4, he says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, this word adornment is the word cosmos in the Greek. And that means an ordered universe. Peter says that there is to be an, we are to order the inward universe within us. There is to be a certain order to that. There's to be a certain order to our character. And we are not to focus on the outward decoration of our lives. Outward decoration can be put on in the morning and it can come off at night. Inward cosmetics stays. It's the same word that we get our word from cosmos that we get cosmetics from. And so, we can decorate ourselves all we want. But he says inward cosmetics is what really stays with us and intensifies with years. Now, both men and women can be people of outward flash and yet have no inward holiness at all. We need to be people who choose substance over being shallow and inner decoration, changing what we are on the inside rather than a heavy focus on the outside. Now, having said that, this is not a call by Peter or by Paul later on in Ephesians that we should ignore our bodies or our appearance, because we can go in the opposite direction. And some people today, some women today, have chosen the complete opposite direction too. And that isn't honoring or pleasing to God in that way either. We can dishonor God by going in that opposite direction. And so we all need to find that balance that honors God and that works for each one of us. It is a call to remain focused, however, on our inner world and our character on the inside. If we spend time keeping our physical appearance up, we ought to spend as much time trying to keep our inner spiritual life up also. If we ignore what's really important, there will come a day when no amount of cosmetics can help cover up the inner dysfunction. You've all seen people that maybe, they weren't too glamorous and maybe didn't use a lot of cosmetics and all of that, but when they were 85 years old, they were radiant because their character it just shine through them. There's something about what Christ does in our hearts. If we foster that and we mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, no amount of cosmetics can do what a life spent with Jesus and really letting Jesus intensify and grow on the inside, it starts to come out, and it starts just to come out in beautiful ways. And on the other hand, we can do all kinds of things and make ourselves beautiful throughout life and yet do nothing on the inside, and by the time we get to be 80, we look like we've been through life. And so just keep what Peter is saying, pay attention to the inside and keep building character. He talks about this inner self that has an unfading beauty. That's just what I'm talking about. It can increase with age. The NIV says beauty comes from a gentle and quiet spirit. The King James says meek and quiet spirit. But you remember in the Old Testament, Moses, he was described, I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy, as the meekest man that had ever walked the face of the earth. Was he weak? No. He led the Israelites for 40 years. He was strong, and yet he's described as meek. And what meekness is strength under control. Peter's not saying, women, you have to be weak. He's saying, develop inner strength that you have under control. It doesn't have, you don't have to go through, raise your voice or go into tirades, but just be strong and firm in your disposition. And a lot of times you can have great power and still be somewhat quiet. Submission is the key to developing that inner holiness, and it is always through self-denial. Whether you're a man or a woman, it always is through self-denial and saying no to some things you want to do that we develop inner character. It is only through the things I've had to wrestle with and deny myself that I have grown spiritually. And the same thing is true, and Peter is just saying, through the hard times in marriage, when we don't get our way and we give in to the spouse's way, those are times that develop character within us. Not comfortable, but we grow spiritually through that. And then Peter uses the example that quite often is a very offensive little passage right in here, where he talks about Sarah in the Old Testament. And Sarah being introduced to us with Abraham, first of all, reminds us that this passage is not written just for women who are married to unbelievers, because both Sarah and Abraham were believers. They were both people of faith. So Sarah in Genesis is described as a good helpmate for Abraham. She's one of the few women listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hero's Book of Faith. And Sarah calls Abraham Lord back in Genesis chapter 18. Lord there translated could mean master. She's just letting him know that she's submissive to him. But she had this attitude of submission towards Abraham. And Peter says here, then he goes on to say that women, wives, are to submit to their husbands without fear. It's a hard passage to work with. But I believe that what he's talking about there is, first of all, that God will hold any man responsible for how he treats his wife. And you can see that in verse 7, but he's already getting there and he's starting to move towards talking to husbands. And so live as much as you can without fear of what the husband may do. In an unhealthy marriage, a spouse may be afraid to speak truth, even spoken in love, because of what an ungodly man will do. That fear can cause her to pull away in self-protective silence that never helps a relationship. there should be healthy flow of communication and relationship. He gave us each other because my wife sees things quite different than I do on a lot of things. And sometimes she's even right. and I see things different than she does. And, you know, together we can accomplish things when we come together and figure things out together that I couldn't do by myself and she can't do by herself. Together we can do things. So you remember Esther in the Old Testament? Esther could have remained silent in fear when she had the opportunity to speak up to the king and save the lives of all the Jews in the kingdom. And it would have seemed like that would have been smart, because to approach the king, she could have lost her life for just doing that. But she went and she spoke and she took that risk herself, and she just left the chips to fall where they were going to fall. And she chose not to live under fear. And then he gets down to dealing with husbands, and he says, husbands, in the same way as Christ submitted to God, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. First of all, be considerate. It's hard for me. I like to think of myself and my wants and my needs and my views and my goals. I don't want to think of Priscilla's first. I want to think of what Adrian Timmons wants. That's what I want to do. She's sick today. When I'm sick, I want to be left alone by everyone, including Priscilla. Priscilla wants attention when she's sick. So when I get home today, I have to give her attention, even though I would rather just leave her alone. So you learn that as you go through life and go through marriage. But be considerate. Don't live in your own world. Consider her world. Get to really know her and what makes her tick and the way she thinks about things. Godly authority is always exercised for the good of those under them. Christ exercised his authority in submission to God for the good of the people. Everything Christ did on earth, he submitted to. He didn't want to die on the cross. He didn't want to be crucified, but he did it for us. And any time we exercise any kind of authority, we do it for the people underneath us in rank. Not in value, but in rank. The man exercises his authority as a husband for the good of his wife. And then he says, as you dwell. And that means that you need to do more than just share an address. Make a home with your wife. And then he says, treat them with honor and respect. Today there are way, way too many households where the woman is belittled and run down. Sarah means princess. Wives are to be treated like a princess. Treat them well. Honor them, treasure them, serve them. And then I want to go back and reaffirm, no wife should ever be scared of her husband, fearful of abuse, and made bitter due to harshness and neglect. Truth and love have to go together. If we speak truth without love, that's just brutal and harsh. If we love without any truth, that's hypocrisy, and it doesn't lead to healthy marriages. Those two things have to always be present in a marriage. And then he says this other thing that's pretty offensive in our culture, but he says, be considerate as you live with them, the weaker partner. And he's really only referring to physical strength. They're generally, men typically have more muscle mass, and it's about 50% stronger than women's muscle mass that they have. And so that's what he's referring to. But no woman should be in a position of wondering how being outmatched in physical strength could hurt them. Sometimes wives are stronger mentally or morally or financially or spiritually or emotionally. We all have different strengths. And often, again, spouses fulfill what is lacking in the other spouse, and they can bring health and balance to each other. And we just have to remember that and look to complement each other. And, you know, when I see a weakness in Priscilla, I have to remember I got my own set of weaknesses, and vice versa. Husbands, and then he says this, husbands and wives are heirs together. We are both equal at the foot of the cross. We are both valued equally by God at the foot of the cross. We are heirs. We both inherit the same thing at the end of life. We inherit heaven together. We are created by God. Both men and women are created in the image of God, and both of us have been given the design and the responsibility to hold dominion over everything that God has created. So he says, remember that you are heirs together. And then he gives men this last little bit of warning. He says, if the wife is submissive and the husband is considerate, it will not hamper your spiritual life, especially your prayer life. If you're not obedient to Christ in the way that you treat your spouse, don't expect God to hear your prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, we're going to get to that passage next week, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. A great place, the best place for a man to be righteous is in the home with his wife. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today and we just thank you that you deal with all kinds of different subjects that apply to our lives. We pray, Lord, that regardless of what circumstance or what situation we are in, whether we're married or not, whether one of our spouses is a Christian or not, that you would help all of us just to learn submission to you, to be obedient to you. Help us, Lord, to hear that command and to put it to heart. And as we submit to you, Father, that means life change within us. Help us, Lord, to develop that inner life, that inner spiritual life and character that makes us more and more like Jesus. Help us, Lord, to see marriage as one of the vehicles that you've given us to help us grow to become more like Jesus. Help us to use it that way. Help us, Lord, to honor you in our marriage vows. Help us to honor you if we're not married. Help us, Lord, to honor you and just develop those same traits in our life. And Father, help us to live in such a way, even in our marriages, that it complements spiritual life. And that you hear us when we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.